Hey, let's open our Bibles, James chapter 5. James chapter 5, we're only got a few lessons left in the book of James. So it's been a great book. I've loved it, and it's so practical and so on fire. James chapter 5, let's read verses 13 through 15 again as review. He says, is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. And if he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Prayer. Prayer in all circumstances, like the scripture said that Chris brought this up. Give thanks in all circumstances. But he says, pray continually in all the different things of life. Rejoice, pray, and give thanks in all the things that this life has to offer. Sometimes it's sickness. Sometimes it's trouble. Sometimes it's the trials just of life, the pressures of life that we face. Any of you ever face any pressure in life? One. Oh, boy. I'm talking to the wrong crowd. But the point that James makes really is that, you know, we should pray for one another, and we take time to pray for ourselves. I pray for me and my needs. And then he says to ask the elders to pray, the leaders to pray for you, to anoint with oil, and these spiritual leaders that God has put in every church, I believe. The church that Paul said, the church that he bought with his own blood, that these overseers, these elders were called to first keep a watch over themselves, and then, secondly, over all the flock, of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. That's a powerful statement Paul gave to the elders there in Ephesus. But James says, you know, to pray and anoint with oil, and I think we did, quite a few people came up. We have the oilists here, and we will pray for you again if you want some people to pray for you and anoint you with oil. That's biblical, and that's what God wants us to do, and please ask. We have people here praying in the name of the Lord. But we saw last week, too, that, you know, it's all under the will of God. It's all under his sovereign will and what he decides. We pray, we ask, but he answers according to his will. We can't dictate to him what he should and shouldn't do. But the truth of the matter is we need all kinds of healings. You know, we need physical healings. We need emotional, mental healings. And we should pray. So today, we're going to look at verse 16. And this is what it says here in verse 16. He says, therefore, after everything that he's already said, confess your sins or your faults to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. So today, he kind of focuses on the what I call body ministry, where we pray for one another. And, you know, it's not just that you pray for yourself. It's not just that you ask the leaders to pray for you, but you know, we pray for one another. It's important. It's beautiful, actually, I think. Amen. Where we can care and share with one another, you know, our burdens, our trials, our troubles, even our faults, our sins, and we can pray for one another. Because this is what the body of Christ is all about. We're all different. We all need each other. So I want to turn back to a couple passages before we talk more about this. Let's turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and then we're going to go back one more to Romans chapter 12. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there's a whole section about the body of Christ that it's one body, but many different parts, and we're all a part of this body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 12, it says, And it's a long passage, so bear with me, but it's important to see this thing that God has created, this body. You look around in this room, this is part of the body of Christ. We're not the whole body, we're just a little part of the body. But he says the body is a unit, it's one, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? Sometimes I think about this like the whole body just being a big eye. If like your body, the body that you have, was just an eye, would that be weird? But it's got a lot of different parts, and they all play an important part. If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? Have you ever looked at people's ears? It's weird. Ears are weird. If you just look at someone, you don't look at someone's face, it kind of blends in, but if you just focus on their ear, I won't let you do it to me. It's really weird. And everybody's got these weird shaped things on the side of their heads. What has that got to do with this message? Absolutely nothing. But look what he says in verse 18. But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body. Every one of them, just as he wanted them to be, the ear, the eye. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts. But one body, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it so that there should be no division in the body. And pay attention here, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. And if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. He says we're all different parts, all made up differently. Sometimes we only look at the ones, you know, that are, you know, more visible. But the truth of the matter is, he says here that even the ones that are not quite so visible, they're actually more important sometimes than those that are more visible. So you might say, well, I don't sing, or I don't preach, or I don't do, you know, Sunday school, I don't do these things where everybody can see me. That doesn't mean that you're not an important part of the body of Christ. But look what he says there. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. Some of you are suffering. You're hurting today. And you know what? We're all part of the same body. And you know, if you stub your toe, the whole body kind of jumps into that thing because it knows. Now, in the body of Christ, sometimes we're suffering, but nobody knows. Nobody has an idea. No one has a clue that what you're going through. But you are the body of Christ. Let's turn back again to Romans chapter 12 before we jump back to James chapter 5. Romans chapter 12. Starting in verse 4. He says, just as each of us has one body with many members, these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We belong to each other. You belong to me, and I belong to you. Verse 6, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve it. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. All different gifts, all different ministries, but Paul here says in Romans that whatever your gift is, you need to use it. You need to be about what it is that God has given you to do. Too many times, you know, we're not involved. We just don't get involved. And back now in James, one of the things he's talking here about is to take care of one another. We all belong to each other, and to take care of each other. To care, to share, to pray, to minister to one another. Notice he says now, as we go back to James chapter 5, verse 16, he says to confess your sins or your faults to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. This idea of confessing, that this is not something we want to do. We don't like to tell somebody else what our problem is, what our problems are. Why is that? How come you don't want to tell me? How come I don't want to tell you? Well, sometimes, you know, it's easier to go to somebody, to a leader or something, to tell people stuff, but why don't we want to share with one another? You know, we are all sinners. We all have faults. We all have sins. But we just don't want to. We don't want to share. We don't want to go. Now I want to inject into this discussion here is that you don't just go to anyone and tell them what your sins and your faults are. There's got to be a level of trust, a level of you know the person, they know you, and there's this level of trust that is important. Otherwise, it's kind of like, I just can't wait to put that online, what you just told me. And that happens. I just can't wait to tell as many people as I can. We need to have people that we trust. And maybe it's just one or two others that we can trust. If you have some issue, that you can tell them about it, and they will pray for you. Maybe they'll pray for you right then, or maybe they'll pray for you every day. Someone told me on the way in, you know, I've been praying for you. And I said, wow, thank you. Because I know I need it. But the point of the passage here is not, you know, to glorify sin or our faults. It's prayer and healing. It's forgiveness from God and from each other, that as we share and we pray for each other so that you may be healed. James says it here that this is a powerful thing, and we don't take advantage of it? Why not? I got some quotes from David Guzik. You know, I love David Guzik, and we've known David for a long time. But he's in the Blue Letter Bible on these passages, and I've got three different quotes here for you. He says this, that mutual confession and prayer brings healing, both physically and spiritually. And confession can free us from the heavy burdens of unresolved sin and removes hindrances to the work of the Spirit. See, there's good stuff that comes out of this. The Bible writes these things, God writes these things to us, gives them to us in the Scriptures so that we can grow and so that we can be free. He says confession to another in the body of Christ is essential because, and get this, sin will demand to have us to itself. isolated from all others. Confession breaks the power of secret sin, but must be made with discretion, and unwise confession can be the cause of more sin. You see that? You know, the problems that we go through, when we keep them all to ourselves, it's like a prison. And it's isolating. I know even in my marriage, when I'm going through something, I think I just got to keep that all to myself. But I've seen over and over so many times when I talk to my wife about this, there comes this sense of relief and this sense of freedom and this sense of healing coming. That's true in a marriage. That's true in relationships and friendships as well. That isolation is not good. But he says it breaks the power. Confession breaks the power of secret sin. One more quote from David Guzik. He says, real, deep, and someone doesn't know how to spell, genuine confession of sin has been a feature of every genuine awakening or revival in the past 250 years, but also seen in the book of Acts, chapter 19, where they were praying and confessing their sin, and God brought this incredible revival, this incredible thing that happened there. So, this thing we call revival in the last 250 years, and if you study and you read about revivals where, God just, incredible things happen and whole communities, whole areas, get on fire for God. It's true when you study and read about it that confession of sin has been a part of every one of those revivals. So do we want revival in our own hearts and lives? Well, to share and confess and to get prayer, that's the way to true revival in our own hearts, in our own lives. So ask someone to pray for us? Why don't we? If it's got so many benefits, so many good things that come from it, why would we not do it? Well, pride, I think, is the number one reason, right? Maybe we're embarrassed. That's why it's got to be somebody that you really trust, that you really know. But God can use the people that are in your life to bring about victory, to bring about hope, to bring about peace, to bring about help. And we should take advantage of it. God uses people. There was a preacher who couldn't swim, and he was on a boat one day, right? And he fell into the sea, fell into the water, and no one noticed that he fell in the water when the boat that he was on just sailed away. And so another boat came, right? And they shouted out to him, "Do you need help?" And he said, no, thank you. God will save me. Okay, what are you going to do? And so another boat came along and said, "Do you need help? We will help you." And he said, "No, God will help." And so he drowned. So he went to heaven, right? And he gets to heaven and he said, "When I was drowning, why didn't you save me?" And what did God say? He said, "You fool, I sent you two boats." It's a funny story, but none of you laugh, but it's true for us too. We have people right around us sitting next to you that could pray for you. Now, I'm not going to make you feel uncomfortable because I feel uncomfortable when I go to a place and they say, "Okay, I want you to reach to the next person and do this," and they tell me what I need to do. I feel very uncomfortable doing that. But having said that, if you don't take advantage of that, if you don't, we saw last week, if you don't take initiative to ask, what kind of help will you get? None. Now, maybe today you're just doing great and you don't need to get any prayer from anybody, but maybe the person next to you is in the opposite circumstances. They need someone to pray for them badly. And maybe you can take initiative and they're too shy or whatever. You can say, can I pray for you about anything? Is it, you know? I think we need to take initiative in a lot of different ways in our Christian lives. I really do. Why pray? Because it works, right? A couple different translations of these verses, of this verse, the last part of the verse. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And the Amplified translation, the heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man or a believer, and that's what being righteous means. It means you're right with God, you're a believer in God through Jesus Christ, is able to accomplish much when put into action and made effective by God. It is dynamic and can have tremendous power. Why pray? Why have somebody pray for you? Why pray for someone else? Because it is powerful and it works. Those aren't my thoughts and my ideas. This is what the Bible tells us. You read about prayer. You see over and over, why pray? Why is there so much about prayer? Because it works. It brings healing. It brings hope. It brings help. It brings all the things that we need. Results. Pray for one another. Care for one another. This is what we call body ministry. It's not just the pastor that prays for people. It's not just the elders that pray for people. It's we pray for one another. One person can't pray for everybody in this room. But we can all pray for each other. Maybe in your family, you need prayer. Maybe your situation, you just know that you can't do it. You need help. Don't be afraid to ask somebody. That's the point. I think you understand what I'm trying to say here today. I'm going to turn to one more passage together as we kind of wrap this up in Galatians chapter 6. If you'll turn back with me to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and following. It says this here, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. How? Through prayer, through caring, through helping the person. But he also says this, but watch yourself, for you also may be tempted. You know, you're not immune. We're not immune. We're all sinners, as I've said. But look what it says in verse 2. Carry each other's burdens. Another translation says, bear one another's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. This is how you fulfill the law of Christ, by carrying each other's burdens, by helping one another, by praying for one another, and to get through this thing we call life. This is the law of Christ. This is what Jesus would do. Verse 3, if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. And each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else, for each one should carry his own load. There's a sense that we should carry our own load, yes. But we should also help to carry one another's loads, one another's burdens. I know that I couldn't survive because without I knowing that people are praying for me, that I need prayer in all the different areas of my life. And you're no different than me. Carry each other's burdens, and this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. One more scripture I'll put on the screen. Colossians chapter 3, it says, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. You see, there's this idea of carrying one another, but there's also this idea of forgiveness. We see this in James' passage as well, this idea of forgiveness. Prayer. Pray for one another. Something happened just recently. I saw it in the news. There was a NFL preseason game, and somebody got hurt. Well, it's people get hurt playing football. That's what it is. But in this particular game, the whole game was stopped, and the players, they dropped to their knees in prayer. And this is some of the pictures of what it looked like. Players from both sides gathering together. I mean, these guys, these are big brutes. And they're holding hands, they're praying, they're on their knees, they're praying for one another, they're praying for this young man who got hurt. That's carrying one another's burdens, isn't it? He was taking, this particular player was taken off the field, and it's interesting. Now, I know it's just a preseason game, but the teams, they decided to stop playing. They let the clock run out. The game never, it was just done. But they circled up to pray. They prayed on the sidelines too. Thankfully, this young man, he posted on Instagram later that he said he was all good and he was grateful for the support that he received. And in that same post, this young man that got hurt, it says that he shared a Bible verse from 1 Thessalonians 5:18, which says this. We had it on the screen earlier. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's powerful, isn't it? They were praying for this guy. They're praying for one another. That's what God's called us to do as well. Like I said, I'm not going to make you do it here today. I just hope that maybe your eyes are open a little bit to the fact that it's okay to ask someone for prayer. And it's also okay to ask someone, like, you look like you're having a hard time. Can I pray for you? You don't even have to tell me what it's about, but can I pray for you? Let's take some initiative in this life because we're missing out. The enemy, is loving it when we don't take advantage of everything that God has given to us, and we find ourselves in that state of isolation. And we think nobody cares. Well, because we put on such a good front, everybody thinks that we're all good. Well, they don't really care about what I'm going through. Well, do they even know what you're going through? Probably not. I don't know. Let someone know you need prayer. Pray for someone else. Amen? Amen. Elijah, come on back up here and get your guitar and do your thing, okay? We're going to take a couple minutes and just pray. Think about what maybe God has spoken to you. Maybe there's a scripture that really stuck out to you. Maybe there's just a phrase. Maybe there's just a picture in your mind. Maybe the picture of those big, huge football players stopping to pray. Maybe that's you and me. Caring for one another, bearing one another's burdens, and fulfilling the law of Christ, doing what Jesus would have us to do. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for James and the direct way that he speaks to us. And maybe because he grew up with Jesus, he's just so direct and just gets right to the point, Lord. But we thank you that it's your word, and it's living, it's active, it's powerful. It can reach into our very hearts, Lord. I know that we are proud human beings. We don't want people to think that we're having a hard time when we really are. Or maybe we're too busy to care about the person next to us. We're too busy to see that they're going through a trial and having a real hard time. Just pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes to see what you want us to see, to hear what you want us to hear, to be those members of the body of Christ that fulfill your will and take care of one another. Jesus, that's what you said, isn't it? To love one another. Love one another. You were talking to us, to the church. Love one another. Pray today for maybe some are struggling. You just have these stuff going on. It's just more than you can deal with, and you need help. Well, pray. But also, find someone that can pray for you as well. There's power when two of you are gathered together. The Lord Jesus, he said he's right there and he hears those cries. There's something powerful in joining together in prayer. Father, help us to not be proud, to not be robbed of all that you have for us. I pray too this morning for any that don't know Jesus. You don't have any strength. You don't have any spiritual life in you. Well, you can if you cry out to him. There's power in that prayer as well, as you cry out to him, oh God, I need Jesus. I need Jesus in my life, and I ask you to come in. And Jesus, save me. Forgive me. Heal me today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing one last song together, shall we?